We're going to be having communion this morning, and there's a few things I want to share concerning communion. I was on Wednesday morning, I woke up at 4 in the morning. I don't know, God's been doing this a lot to me lately. I know He wakes me up early in the morning, seems to do it when I go to bed late, so He wakes me up early. But there's just things that He's been speaking to me, but specifically, I woke up Wednesday morning and the Lord spoke to me about communion service today. Spoke specifically to me about it and some things He wanted me to share. So I'm just going to take those things this morning here because, and it really does, it fits into what we've been teaching, you know, on the areas of the virgin birth and looking at God's plan that He had from the beginning of the world. And we looked, because we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ and the virgin birth, and we explained from scripturally, and we looked at the facts of, if it didn't happen like the Bible said, there is no redemption. Redemption fell on legal ground. God had to be able to legally redeem you. And He planned in His redemption, as I said, as when I was just a young Christian, only a few months old, I had a vision. In that vision, I saw God's plan for man and redemption. And because I had asked the Lord, why would you do all this in creating man and all this stuff that's going on? You knew it. You knew everything. And He showed me that and why He created man. And really, man is the crown jewel of what God has planned from the beginning. And the Lord spoke to me in that vision and said to me that man was really the tool that He was going to use that was going to put away sin forever. Hallelujah. Do you ever just think about your part of God's plan that's going to put sin away forever? It'll never again taint any of creations that God makes. Hallelujah. So we're not going to enter into a new realm when Jesus comes and everything finally does climax and everything, the new heaven and earth. There's never going to be anything again. There's going to be a fall again. That'll never happen. Those things will never take place again. Hallelujah. And so, but the value of men. Well, I want to look at something today because when the Lord woke me, He spoke to me about, first of all, He talked to me about Passover because Christianity has tied, we see we're at Passover. Jesus was at Passover and we're really what we have our communion service came out of. We don't really celebrate Passover. The church doesn't celebrate Passover. We want to talk about that. We don't. Our communion service is not Passover. See, a lot of people try to bring it over and say, well, yeah, if you want to understand communion, you have to understand Passover. Well, not really. You don't really have to. I want to share with you because of what we want to look at. Back in Exodus, the Passover was established by God in Exodus 12 for the children of Israel leaving Egypt. God established that thing, and He told them that He established them that day was going to be the beginning of the month that He was talking to them in, and that would be the month would start off the lead month of their calendar on day one. And then in verse 3, He said He speaks to all the congregation of Israel, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his fathers, a lamb for a household. And He goes on to explain about the household and each one of them, you know, the need. Verse 5, He says, the lamb shall be without blemish, a male from the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goat. He said, now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And then it goes in about, it says, they shall take some of the blood, put it on the two doorposts and on the lintels of the house where they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh of that lamb roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. And He goes on to say, you know, that how they shouldn't, you know, eat anything that's left over. They're supposed to burn it, how they're supposed to roast it and things. And verse 11, He says, and thus you shall eat it. With the belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And in verse 13, He says, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you on you or to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now he goes on to tell them, and he talks to them then about, because you know we usually the church looks at the Passover, but the church doesn't look at really the what we call the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread was tied to it. In fact, it started at that time. They ate, when they ate their lamb, they ate it with unleavened bread. And there was a, at that time started off the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which lasted 7 days. And, in other words, they would have what they called a holy convocation. In other words, it was considered a holy day. The start of it was a holy day. In other words, a day you didn't do any work or anything like that. And, it would be held just like a Sabbath was. And so you would hold it. And then the seventh day was another one. But that week and entire, during that entire week, there was no, nobody would eat any bread other than unleavened bread. And, in the 15th verse of that same chapter says, in 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your house. From whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. And on the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on the same day I will have brought you your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day through your generations as an everlasting ordinance. Now, I want to talk to you about this because when the Lord woke me up, what he began to talk to me is about the unleavened bread. You know, that sounded like a really exciting thing to talk about. But we you need to understand, because really in the church world today, we practice things but really don't have an understanding of what we're practicing sometimes or what things absolutely mean. Now, in Matthew, if we look at in Matthew when Jesus really started what we do as our communion today. In Matthew 16, I mean 26, but let's go to Matthew 16. Because when we talk about leaven, I want to say this about leaven. What we're doing is unleavened bread is bread without any yeast in it. It's bread with no yeast. And now actually what it is, it ends up to be like a cracker is what it does. In fact, I have some of it here. In fact, we're going to use it. The Lord put me to do this. This is really what unleavened bread looks like. You know, you go to, like, last time you see those little wafers they have, those little round things. Well, that really isn't how they made unleavened bread. Those things are like little spongy pieces. Now, they're made of flour and water, just flour and water, and they're not really, they must be baked very little because they get that sponginess to them. And unleavened bread is very much, it's just like a cracker. It breaks. Now, the thing of unleavened, leaven used in from this instance, and now understand this, leaven isn't bad to use. It's not bad to use. But leaven represented something to Israel and certain things. When they talked about leaven, people understood from their spiritual context of what they were talking about when they used it. Leaven was a type of sin. And it represented that because sin is always something that's passed on. You know, you need to understand that. You live in sin, you're going to pass something on. The nature of sin, and we taught about this, the nature of sin, Adam sinned, and so sin passed on to everybody through his seed. Sin passed on. Yeast was a type of sin. So they removed yeast from the bread. In other words, you had bread that didn't, that you were eating, something you were partaking that didn't have any yeast on it, had a definite significance to it. Through the scriptures, we find the term yeast talked about concerning things. In Matthew 16, and Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, in fact, verse 6 says, then Jesus said to them, take heed, he said to his disciples, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he made that statement to them. Then he turned around and he said, verse 11, he said, how is it you did not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. In the terms of spirituality, when it's talked about leaven, it's talking about something that's not good. something that's a problem. Wrong doctrine is like leaven, because you preach it, it gets spread. Oh, we loaded. The church is full of it today. Bad doctrine, unscriptural doctrine, preached out there, and boy, it sure has spread. It just spreads and spreads, and people spread it. People hear things they like to hear. It's unscriptural, but they like hearing it. They like it to be that way, so they spread it. And those things get spread. But it's important, because if you don't understand spiritually what God's trying to bring across with these terms used, I mean, these terms aren't used in the American vernacular. We don't talk about it from that standpoint. So we read the Bible, these things could really be sort of foreign to us. Now, in the communion service, there was actually, in the Bible, was listed in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke wrote down what Jesus did on the night that they got together, and they had the lamb and all that stuff. They were going through the whole ritual of Passover. But Jesus did something different that was not done, which I'm sure these disciples never heard done before in any one of those, because they had certain things, rituals that they followed out in that. And Jesus came along, and in Matthew 26, he says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin.'" Now, if you look at the three times in the Gospels that these are said, there's a few little bit difference in words. Now, the Apostle Paul, the Lord spoke to him, and if you went over to 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, shared with him about something. And I just want to quickly say this. I've taught it before. Paul talks about when Jesus broke the bread, he said, this is my body broken for you. Actually, Jesus didn't say that. That was added by the translators. Because, number one, you look at the three areas where it's written in the Gospels, it is not mentioned. And you have to understand, now, I'm not trying to come up with some kind of, people want to do it, they can. But there's something that people miss by doing it. I realize that the translators were trying to bring something across, but there's one thing we need to understand. Most of the American church and around the world has the foundation of a death religion. It's based in death. What's the symbol of the 99% of the church? The cross. That's the symbol. I want you to think about this. Jesus, at the first communion, if he was thinking on the subject of death, he would have handed lamb to everybody to eat. The lamb was the symbol of death. The lamb is the symbol of death. Jesus didn't identify the communion. Why? Because Jesus is focusing on the communion of the new covenant. The new covenant's about life. The new covenant's not about the death. It's about life. If you want to remember the new covenant, you remember it by its life. The church, now think, we preach Jesus Christ crucified. But, I'm not singing, I'm stay near the cross. We ain't singing there because I ain't going there. Jesus died on the cross, but he was raised from the dead. Let's have a resurrection religion instead of a death religion. The death religion always stays over in the areas of God, he loves you, but he'll want you sick, and he'll want you this, and that's the death religion. Death religion always has that. That's death religion. God always knows you're in trouble, having problems, and God wants you to have your problems because there's some great mystery to it, and that stuff, and we just don't know why. It's always a mystery. But understand, Jesus is there, and what does he do? Jesus identifies with the disciples as being the bread, and he is the bread with no leaven. The sinless one. See, Jesus is bread. See, bread for the Jew, Jesus made this statement. And here's, when Jesus made this statement in John the 6th chapter, that if you go on to read the whole story, this is when everybody left him and they didn't follow him anymore. And Jesus made this statement. He said in verse 48, he said, "I am the bread of life." See, the bread is a representation of life. If you go through the Bible, bread naturally was sustenance to people. That was the main thing. Bread was the major thing of eating. You had bread, you had something to eat. And that was the main thing. Jesus is identified, in other words, he's identified with nourishment, nourishment to people. It's something that blesses or helps people. And he's identified with no leaven. See, Jesus was the sinless one. If Jesus didn't have a sinless nature, he couldn't be your redeemer. And he reminded about you being connected to him, the sinless one. He's that baby born into the earth. If he didn't come the way the Bible says and through a virgin, then he had the nature of sin. If he was born, like many say today, oh, I don't believe in the virgin birth, then there is no redemption because man could not redeem himself. Everybody had the sin nature. The whole point was that Jesus didn't have the sin nature. And in communion, he identifies himself with the church not having the sin nature. This church, most every Christian I ever talk to, identifies with the sin nature. That's who they identify with. Everybody identifies with their weakness, their inabilities, we're just going to sin, or we're just, this is what we are. That isn't what God... communion in many senses has become worthless to the church because the church has identified communion with the sin nature instead of the righteous nature. Communion is to identify us with the righteousness of God, with the one who is our sustenance, you know, from spiritually, he's our life. As he said here, he's the bread of life. Look at it. He said, this is the bread which comes down from heaven that one may eat of it and not die. I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Jesus Christ identifies himself in communion as having flesh and blood. God had to have, to redeem man, he had to have flesh and blood. It's our identification with Jesus. If Jesus Christ was a regular man like me, communion is a worthless thing to do. It's of no value because it isn't. I'm identified in his holiness. I'm identified in his righteousness. I'm identified in his purity. Listen what the Apostle Paul, wrote to the church at Corinth. Listen what he said. In 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, Paul's dealing with the church because there's a man in the church who is living with his stepmother. And Paul said, even the sinners ain't doing that. Well, not today. Today we're just full of perversion. But Paul said, what you guys need to do is throw him out of the church. You don't let people in sexual sin stay around. I want you to see what the statement that Paul made. He's writing them at the church. Why? The church at Corinth, we know this. They didn't identify with communion. You guys know we went over and used the verses. They were under judgment of God because they weren't. Communion was just a nice ritual they did, but was bringing judgment on them. And people need to know today, it's not something we play with. You don't play with these things. They're not toys. These represent something. And especially the church world. I understand the world would abuse things, but the church has abused it. Listen what Paul says to these people in 5th chapter verse 6. He said, your glory's not good. You do not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. He's talking about leaven. Here, what about sin? Sin affects the whole lump. It affects the whole thing. You can't put leaven in flour without it affecting the whole flour that you put it in. You can't keep it at one spot. You got to tear that, whatever you put it at, you got to tear the thing out. If you let it stay in there long enough, you can't get it out. It's in everything. And so he says to them about this leaven, little leaven. What's he talking about leaven here? Leaven sin. This is sin. These are ones that are letting someone in sin stay in the church, not dealing with it. He asks him, he says, you have a so-called brother and he does this, he's immoral. Don't even as much as eat with him. See, when a person calls himself a Christian, we have every right to demand certain things of him. Somebody says, don't judge, you cast the devil out of him and tell him to get saved. We have the church world says, yeah, you don't judge nothing. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, says, don't you have anybody in the group who can judge? Oh, my God. Anyhow, but he said here, verse 7, therefore purge out the old leaven, What's that? That's this individual. Why? This sin. It's talking about sin. You purge it out. Now listen to what he says. That you may be a new lump. Listen what he says here. Since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He says, what? Truly, we're unleavened. We take communion. Communion is supposed to remind us that we're unleavened. See, when people say as Christians, you're just going to sin, they're speaking against the Bible. The Bible just told us we're unleavened. See, when you get born again, your nature changes, your sin. This is why people say they got born again and they just want to live in sin. That's a lie. That's just a total 100% lie. The church is considered the unleavened. It is not natural that we should want to sin. That's not natural. We should not want to sin. That's not our nature. We've taken on the nature of Christ. The communion service is about us identifying with the new covenant. Most of the church identifies with the Lamb, which was slaughtered for sin. They don't identify themselves with the bread and ourselves being truly unleavened. When we're partaking of Christ, we're partaking of the fact when we take the communion, we take the unleavened bread. He had a physical body. God put on a physical body with a sinless nature. We're supposed to be identified with the physical body with a sinless nature. I have a physical body, but my nature is a sinless nature. My nature is not to sin. I have a sinless nature. You have a sinless nature. If you're born again, you accepted Jesus, that's your nature. That's what you have to amplify and talk about. Quit talking about, you know, where you missed it and blew it. If you blew it, confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive it. And then go on and talk about your nature of what you are. You're no more going to become anything more than you walk around and talk about that you are. Communion is that reminder. Now, we know Passover, we're not trying to Passover. You know what Passover was? Passover was a God passing over people with the sin nature, passing over their sin. Well, I'm sorry, God never passed over Ed's sin. He removed the sin nature. We don't celebrate Passover. I've heard people tell me communion's our Passover. No, it's not. God ain't passing over your sin. He removed it completely through faith in Jesus Christ. You don't have the sin nature. You have an unleavened nature. That's who you are. You're unleavened. You know, it just... God wakes me up at 4:00 in the morning and I don't get to go back to sleep and end up having to get up and, you know, just, you know, this is pretty important to him. When we celebrate that baby that was born, that was God came in a physical body. That was literally God. That ain't just some cute little thing. That was God. To take us to the point of when he rose from the dead, so you and I could become unleavened. You and I could take the nature that he had. A man. Men in the earth. Men, where are you? I'm not talking about man, I'm talking about mankind. Men in the earth. Mankind's in the earth. People without the sin nature. I'm going to tell you what, I can get stoned in most churches talking like this. Oh, this is heresy. You're not talking enough death. You got to get more death in this thing and more sin and your unworthiness. I didn't deserve none of it, but he gave it to me. You know, if somebody gives me $10 million today, you ain't going to ever get me to say I'm not a millionaire just because some knucklehead wants me to. You're not going to get some dumb preacher to tell me that I'm not unleavened just because he wants me to. It makes him feel better because he wants to live in the sin nature. Well, he can go live in his sin nature. But God has a different opinion. And our communion is to celebrate who we really are as our identification, the new covenant. Look, he took the two elements. He took the bread, which represented the flesh, no sin, and the blood, which is really the shedding. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. In other words, it's the sealing of the covenant. It sealed the covenant. It's the new covenant. Oh, the church just loves to practice ritual. They love ritual. We love to have it, you know. We just got to have it certain ways. It just makes us feel good. Makes us feel like we're doing something. But we got to come to the place of truth in what we see and what we identify with. Our faith is tied to these things. Our faith is tied to the fact of we have a nature. You and I have a nature now. And it's not the same nature we had before we came to Christ. This is a different nature. It's the nature, not the nature of sin. It's a nature of life. Truly, you're unleavened. Truly, you're unleavened. Truly, you're unleavened. Truly. Now, I want you to think about this. Corinth was a messed up bunch of people. They were a messed up bunch of Christians. Now, if he could say to them, truly, you're unleavened, I shouldn't have any problem saying that to you guys today, should I? Truly, you're unleavened. And you shouldn't have any trouble, you see. Because if you go over and see what that messed up bunch were doing, and he said to them, they're truly unleavened, surely you are. Surely you're unleavened. Hallelujah. And we take communion. It's a ministry of life. It is a ministry of life to the church. It is a ministry of life to us. Hallelujah. Life and not death. Glory to God. Identified. God had a body like yours and he didn't have the sin nature. By the new covenant he established, you lose the nature of sin and you become unleavened. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're identified by God as not having the sin nature. Not having it. Well, the old man keeps trying to come back on me. The old man can't get on me. I don't have an old man. He's dead. You just keep bragging about him and being the old man this and the old man. Don't surprise you get somebody old come back on you. I have enough trouble without causing me more. Hallelujah. Identify yourself as unleavened today. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you this morning, Lord God, for the richness that you provided for us through Jesus Christ. Lord, as we celebrate this time of the year, Lord God, I know some people complain, well, we just give too much and doing too many things. And well, I guess, Lord, what could we say? If we did that, then we'd have to shame you for Christmas because you gave more than any of us did, than any of us can comprehend to do or to give. But Lord, we're gonna say, I'm not saying you went too far. I want you to thank you, Lord God, for going so far. Hallelujah. Lord God, for your extremeness and your goodness and mercy, Lord God, and your lavishness that the scriptures tells us that you pour out on us. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus, and you sure have. Lord God, the word says that you've through this wonderful Christ, that we celebrate his birth, that Lord God, through all of his wonderful work, you've blessed us with every spiritual blessing and heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord God, you made us like he has seated us in heavenly places in Christ. Lord God, the authority that you've given us over Satan's kingdom and the authority you've given us over concerning sickness and disease, the things that you have done that have been so richly good to us is absolutely phenomenal. And we're just so thankful and so grateful. And Lord God, I want to thank you for giving us the unleavened nature, the nature without sin. Oh, Lord God, thank you so much. Lord, I just pray, Lord God, in these last days, Lord, we want to turn an ear to you to listen and to hear, because I believe there's many things that you want us to say to us, Lord God, that we have not seen or known, that your scriptures tell us. I think there's many wonderful things that you've been trying to bring across to the church. And I want to thank you, Lord God, that these things become real in each one of our hearts. Lord, that we live out this glory and not live in the religion of the past, but live in the glory, Lord God, as your word is opened and brought out to us. Lord God, that we walk in the confidence and the boldness of these days and time that we're in, because many need to hear the truth. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, and the more I hear of your truth, Lord God, it's absolutely supernatural. It's absolutely fantastic. Lord, it's beyond the imaginations of men, your glory and how good it is. And I thank you, Father God, for giving us the ability to take these wonderful words and give them to other people. Lord God, we want you to, as you see us and as you view us, we want to view ourselves in that manner also. Lord God, we want our eyes to look As Lord, you told me, Lord God, many years ago, you told me to quit judging myself by the flesh. Instead, judge myself by what I really was on the inside and begin to speak those things. And Lord God, I want to thank you for giving me that revelation. Oh, Lord God, and I thank you. There's many more things I can see that we need to understand and know that we need to get on our voice. And Lord God, I thank you for the richness of the communion table as we take today, that we're reminded again, Lord, of this holiday season of the birth, hallelujah, of God coming into the earth. Lord God, that we look at the new covenant in the glory and grace that it so deserves to be looked at. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.